All right, well, good morning. It's so nice to see you all. I kind of wish all the kids could stay. It makes it feel like it's a bigger crowd, but that's all right. Before I start, I want to give a shout out to two people. One is James. I think we all know this, but this is James' last Sunday with us. So James, we're a little bit sad to see you go. Yesterday it was nice. I ran into James at Elias with Abby. So I sent Abby over to James to say, have a good time in India. And so James, you've officially been commissioned by Abby. And then Tanner's the other guy. Tanner, welcome back. I think the Lord is kind to, as he sends out one, he brings back another, and you guys are almost like tag teaming. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, my name is Mitch, and I'm one of the leaders here at Life Connection. I have the privilege of every couple of months or so getting to deliver a message. My wife is Kristen. We have two daughters, Abby and Zymir. And so the title of the sermon this morning is called Good News, Jesus Saves Sinners. And so our text is from Psalm 51, and I'm going to go ahead and read through Psalm 51 in several different chunks. If you'd like to follow along, it's page 474 in your pew Bibles. So I'm going to read 1 through 4, 7 through 13, and then 15 through 17. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. In verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Verse 15, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So as I go through the sermon this morning, there are two general attitudes that we can have. The first is pride. And that's when we look at this text and we largely focus on the sin of King David. And we think, how could he have done such a thing that would lead him to repent like this? And the other attitude that we can have is humility. And that's the attitude that I want us to have, that as we look at this text, we realize that we are just like King David, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And so I hope that our eyes would be on ourselves and on Jesus as we go through the text and the preaching here this morning. I feel like our leaning in life is, without the help of Jesus, is toward pride. So let's pray for humility from God here this morning. Father, we thank you for the text this morning. We thank you for King David and his life. It was far from perfect, but yet he was humble and he was honest with himself and he took his sins seriously. Father, I ask that we would do the same with our sin. I pray that you would grant us humility. Help us to know that we are weak and broken people in need of a Savior, just like David. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So about a month ago, Chris asked if I would pick a psalm to preach on. And we're actually starting a new kind of a mini series. We'll preach on five or six different psalms. And when he asked me to do that, Psalm 51 was the first one that came to mind. And the reason for that is because, in my opinion, Psalm 51 is straight up Old Testament gospel. There's just good news written all over it. And so I knew that I wanted to take an opportunity to be able to share the good news of the gospel from Psalm 51 with you all. So in order to set the stage, let's think about good news for a minute. Over the last few years, what has been some good news that you have received? So think about that, and I'll go through a list here. Was it good news when you heard that the Royals won the World Series? Is it good news when you hear that Boulevard Brewery is coming out with a new beer? Anybody? Not so much for me. I'm a Modelo kind of guy, staying true to the Northeast, right? What about when you find out that you're pregnant and you're having a baby? As a side note, my wife and I are expecting another child this fall. We just found out that we're having a boy, so that was great news for us. Maybe it's good news when you find out that you get into college. For me, that was great news. It was a miracle. My parents never thought I would get into college, I don't think. But I did. Or maybe it's good news when you find out that that you got a new job that you've been dreaming of. Maybe it's good news when you found out that you're getting a raise at work or a promotion. I'm sure it's good news whenever you find out that your grandparents or your mom or your dad was healed of cancer or a sickness. It's good news when you find out that an offer you put on a house was accepted and you get this house that you've been dreaming of. These are all examples of good news. And so continuing on the topic of good news, let's think a little bit further. What are some characteristics of good news? What are some feelings that come to mind when you receive good news? Here's just a brief list that I've come up with. Good news always makes life better. Good news seems to bring hope to the future. Good news sometimes means that something broken has been fixed. Good news could mean that someone you love that was sick is now healthy. Good news makes us feel like we can rest, that we can take a breath of fresh air. Good news often releases us from a worry or a fear. Good news often causes us to spontaneously rejoice. Good news is also something that often we want to celebrate in community with other people. And good news often comes after a drought when we feel like we need it the most. Good news is something that we want to experience with others. It's something that affects us down to our very soul. And good news, or the best news, I believe, affects eternity for the better, right? And so the list can go on and on. My hope for us this morning is that you all, along with me, would be able to say that the best news is that Jesus provides a way for us to be healed from our sin. And so Psalm 51, I think, is one of the best examples in Scripture of God's healing nature. So let's go ahead and jump into 51, and we'll discover the good news of Psalm 51. But first, a little bit of background. Psalm 51 was written by King David. A lot of us know a little bit about King David. So who was King David? he was the son of Jesse and the father of Solomon. He began his life as a shepherd. He was a musician and a talented one at that. He wrote 76 of the 150 Psalms. He was called by God, and he was known as a man after God's own heart. With his family lineage would come King Jesus. So it was 28 generations from David to Jesus. David was a wartime hero. We all know the story of David and Goliath. David heroically killed Goliath with courage, faith in God, and with a single stone that he flung through the air. He had no great physical stature, as was common with most kings. He was chosen by God as a prophet. And like with all of God's people, even though he was a prophet and a king, he was a sinner and he was in need of a savior. The background of this psalm can be found in 2 Samuel chapter 11. So I'm going to go into a little bit of some of the background events that led up to David writing this psalm. That'll be on page 262 in your pew Bibles if you want to flip to it. So that's, again, 2 Samuel chapter 11. So essentially it was during wartime, and David's men were off to war. David was on a rooftop and had seen a married woman bathing naked, and he was filled with lust, and so he sent messengers to Bathsheba to have her brought to him. He ended up sleeping with her. He got her pregnant. And though scripture is not explicit on whether or not she consented, we can speculate from cultural observations and history that this was likely a rape. Then he tried to cover his sin by having her husband, who was at war, come home to sleep with her so that it would look like he had gotten her pregnant, and that didn't work. So he conspired to have her husband killed in battle. That was kind of the next best thing for David. You can see that he's just spiraling out of control in this situation. So he commanded the leading officer to have Bathsheba's husband sent to the front lines where it was most dangerous in battle. And of course, he was killed. So David murdered an honest man to protect his affair with his wife. And then Nathan, thank God for Nathan. Nathan confronted him about all of his sin. And by the time David had written this psalm, he knew all about his sin. He was crushed by it. He was devastated. He knew that in his heart was wickedness and rebellion. And so just as a reminder, I'm calling this sermon Good News. Jesus saves sinners. As terrible as this all sounds, there's good news in it. That there's an answer, there's a solution to our sin. And so the good news from Psalm 51 is broken into three categories. I'm trying to make this as simple and straightforward as possible. So the three categories, number one is repentance. And that's found in verses 1 through 6. Number two is healing. And that's verses 7 through 12. And then we have new life, which is verses 13 through 19. And so these are the three primary components, the three primary steps that must happen in every life of those who live a transformed life, of those who follow Jesus, is that we must repent, we must be healed by Jesus, and then we live a new life. So that's how I'm breaking this down. Let's start with repentance from verses 1 through 6. Again, this is one of the best examples, I think, of the gospel, and especially of repentance all throughout Scripture. When I first started diving into this over the last couple weeks, it reminded me of my time in college, and specifically my freshman year of college. And that's when I first really experienced God and his presence And I learned that God is holy and righteous and perfect, and he's just. He's perfect in all his ways. And then I began looking at God in light of who I am, and I realized I was so far from him, and that my life was filled with things that I thought that I shouldn't be thinking, that I did, that I shouldn't have done, that I said, that I shouldn't be saying, and so on and so forth. And my life was filled with this weight of guilt and shame. And, where did God lead me in Scripture? He led me to Psalm 51. And I read through the text. I poured through it. I wrestled with it. And eventually I memorized it because I spent so much time in it. And I was just really impressed with King David, that he had fallen so far from God, but yet he was honest with himself and he had the courage to go to God, because even though he had fallen, he believed that there was a solution to his sin, and God was much bigger than his sin problem. And so in these first verses of repentance, the one that stands out the most to me is verse 1 that says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love." David acknowledges that his sins deserve severe punishment, but he believes that God is merciful. And so here this morning, the main thing that I want to point out is that Jesus is our mercy. The easiest way to understand what mercy is it's God not giving us what we do deserve. So God is merciful, and he is also just. The only way that he can do that, not giving us the punishment that we deserve, is because Jesus took it. And so Jesus is our mercy. He took our punishment. The other thing I want to point out is that we're all on the same playing field. We're all sinners. Whether you're a king or the king's servant, whether you are a teacher or a stay-at-home mom, we're all sinners, and we're all in need of a Savior. So why was David called a man after God's own heart if he had fallen into this sin? And I think the reason is because David was often gracious with other people's sin. He overlooked others' sin, but he was serious with his own. He didn't overlook it. He didn't slip it under the rug. He didn't pray like the American church prays of, "God, please forgive me," and that's it. No, he wept and he cried out to God because he was broken over his sin. He knew that he had offended God with his sin. So what does repentance look like in your life? Is it genuine? Does it even exist? Sometimes I feel like there are seasons that go by that I don't even repent, and yet I know that I sin every day. And on this this first topic of repentance, I kind of want to conclude by just saying that King David, he loved the Word of God, and he knew how to repent because he knew the Word of God, and he knew what was offensive to God because he knew the commands of God. And so we think about other psalms, Psalm 2 that David wrote. He says, "I meditate on your words day and night." Psalm 119, he says, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" That's by living according to your word. So David loved the word of God, and I want to encourage us to love the word of God too, so we can know what offends God. All right, so that's step one, is repentance. Step two is experiencing healing from God, and those are in verses 7 through 12. How does David describe the healing in this text? David says in verse 7, "Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." Verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart." Verse 11, he says, "Cast me not from your presence, nor take from me your Holy Spirit." Verse 12, "Give me joy from your salvation." So in other words, God's healing through Jesus means that he will cleanse our hearts. So he works from the inside out. He'll give us new life. He grants us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which means his presence forever. And he will give us lasting joy. So let me read that one more time. Essentially, David's saying God's healing through Jesus is that he will cleanse our heart. He'll give us new life. He'll give us the gift of his Holy Spirit, which means his presence forever. And he'll give us lasting joy. And that, friends, is much better than the World Series, or the Royals winning the World Series. I just think about, I'm sure some of y'all went downtown. It was like over 150,000 people or something that went to essentially celebrate and worship the Royals. And it's just like, man, this is worth worshiping Jesus, you know, and his healing power. This is good news. So when we go to Jesus with a broken and sincere heart like David, we will be healed. We must pray and repent with courage and with confidence in the healing and gracious hand of God. And we must also realize that Jesus alone heals and nothing else. From Isaiah 53:5, it says that he, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the punishment that brought us peace. And through his wounds, we are healed. So, Jesus alone can heal us. Reviewing, one is, the first point is repentance. Second is we experience the healing power of God through Jesus. And then third and lastly, we are led to live a new life in Christ. And so this new life out of Psalm 51 is from verses 13 through 19. And so when we repent and are healed, we're led to live a new life. From the text, David says, in light of being healed, from verse 14, my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Verse 13, he says, I will teach transgressors your ways. In verse 16, I will worship you through a sacrificial heart and lifestyle. So David knew that experiencing God's healing power would lead him to live a new life. So if you have repented and have been healed, do you live a new life? Do you feel like your life is any different? Does God create within you a desire to live a new life? Jesus says that he will know his followers by the fruit that's in their life. So I've been thinking back over the last 10 years of my life and what it's looked like to experience the healing power of God, to be forgiven, and to live a new life. And one example I want to share with you guys is with my work. We recently changed our company name. We rebranded to Division 51. And so there are two meanings with Division 51. First is that if anybody knows much about construction, there are always a set of build plans, architectural drawings, and there are 50 divisions, which is flooring, the ceiling, lights, electrical, AC, paint, foundation, the list goes on and on. There are 50 divisions. And so we thought we would be Division 51, which is kind of like the unicorn of fabrication, that we'll do anything you dream of, which gets us in trouble sometimes. But so that's one meaning, and the other meaning is that we, as owners of the company, we believe that we want our company and our lives to be a reflection of Psalm 51. We want to sort of dedicate our company to to the mercies and the kindness and the forgiveness of God. And we want to be humble men, and we want to repent from our mistakes, knowing that we're not perfect. And on a day-to-day basis, we want to sort of spontaneously be filled with this joy, so that we, as this scripture says, so that we can teach transgressors your ways, so we can point our employees to the saving power of God. And so Psalm 51 kind of has a, as you can see, a lot of a personal meaning to me. And it was a few months ago when we rebranded, and there's about 30 people on our staff, and so we decided to read Psalm 51 to our staff. And it was just really exciting to be able to plant seeds in people's lives and point them to God in that way. And just one more example. Tomorrow afternoon, actually, I've got a meeting with two of my employees. One's a department lead who is another believer, and one is an employee in that department who is not a believer, does not follow Jesus. And honestly, this guy just has a track record over the last couple months where I feel like any other company, he would have been fired a long time ago. And this last Friday, I was really wrestling with feeling like I need to call this guy into my office and just fire him. He's just constantly late, and he's got all this baggage from his home life that he carries to work. And God put on my heart this Psalm 51, that tomorrow afternoon, instead of firing him, I'm going to get together with him and his lead and communicate the gospel to him, because that's what he needs more than anything, you know. And our profitability is important, but it's not the most important thing. So anyways, if you think about that tomorrow afternoon, pray for it. His name's Zach. He actually lives in the Northeast. So in conclusion, I just want to remind us of the theme of the morning, and that is good news, that Jesus saves sinners. And this morning when we were worshiping, including kids, I counted everybody, and there were 33 people here. And the amazing thing about the good news of the gospel is that Jesus meets us wherever we're at. So 33 people are probably in 33 different places in their journey of life. And like I said, I believe that Jesus meets us right where we're at. So last night I was praying and thinking through you all individually, and I was jotting down a list. I was asking the Lord to give me words that came to mind that might be descriptors of where we're all at in our journey. And so here's just some of the words that that came to mind. This morning, I wonder if some of you are feeling hope or despair, joy or sadness, defeat, maybe a lack of purpose. Maybe you're feeling apathy or curiosity. Maybe you're feeling contentment or excitement. Maybe you're feeling shame and guilt. Maybe you're feeling victory or weakness or strength. Maybe some of you are feeling wise or maybe foolish. Some of you are probably feeling fearful or maybe anxious. Are you feeling crushed? Or are you feeling redeemed? What do you think David was feeling when he felt the weight of this sin in his life? It obviously devastated him. And so I believe that Jesus wants to meet all of us where we're at in our life, right now, right here, this morning. And I believe that he wants us to follow the model of David, which is we need to be honest with ourselves, and we need to repent and be healed by Christ alone and live a new life. And if we do this, I believe that he will turn despair into hope. He will turn weakness into strength. He will turn doubts to belief. He will declare the guilty innocent. He restores honor to those that are ashamed. He makes wise the fool. He gives purpose to the apathetic. He turns defeat into victory. He will turn mourning into laughter. He turns anxiety into confidence. And he turns fear into courage. And if you want, if you want this in your life, then I encourage you to turn to Jesus and be healed. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Let's pray.